For more information on ancient dragon Zen Gate and Tygen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
The point of studying these old stories, or at least one point, is that in many ways they serve as Zazen instructions, as guidance to inform our Zazen. Story I talked about yesterday from Jiajo. The monk asked Jiajo, "I've entered the monastery, please give me some guidance." Jiajo said, "Have you had breakfast yet?" The monk said, "Yes, I've eaten." Jiajo said, "Please go wash your bowl." This story is very simple and also works on many levels. What I want to point out to start with this morning is in Hongzhe's verse commentary, this one line, opened up, the mind ground meets of itself. So as we sit, how does the mind ground meet of itself? It's not that we can find, it's not that we can meet the mind ground. It's not that we can open up the mind ground. But what is the mind ground meets of itself? How does that feel? What is that like? When we have nourished ourselves in this practice, period after period, opened up, the mind ground meets of itself. And then this commentary from Wansong about this. About Ling Yun awakening to the way upon seeing peach blossoms, and his teacher Guishan saying, "Those who enter by way of conditions never regress." So as we sit, what does it mean to enter by way of conditions? What are the conditions as you take the next breath of, or the next exhale as you sit in Zazen? Or as you take the next spoonful of the first bowl? Or use your chopsticks in the second bowl. Or as you get up to do walking meditation, what are these conditions? Where is the mind ground meeting of itself? How does it open up? And of course, Xuanzha said, Ling Yun's quite correct, but I dare say the old brother's not through yet. Of course. So, this is background for the next story I want to talk about. It's case 47 in the Book of Serenity. Very famous story. Also a very simple story. Also a very good story. And so I'm going to be coming back to all of these stories through this session. But the basic story, a monk asked Jiajo, well, Cleary's translation is, what is the living meaning of Chan Buddhism? Actually, what what he said was, what is the meaning, or what is the intention? What is the mind? We could say, what is the purpose? Yi in Chinese. What is the point of the ancestral teacher coming from the West? So this refers to the founding teacher, the Bodhidharma. So Clary's right. This comes down to what is the living meaning of Chan Buddhism. But literally, it's what is the point of, why did Bodhidharma bother coming from the West? So this is a kind of standard rhetorical question in a lot of these stories. Why did this old Indian teacher bother going to China? And so this is a question that's, you know, asked many, many times, and there are many, many stories about lots of different answers that were given by many, many teachers about, you know, in response to this particular question. Why did Bodhidharma bother coming from the West? What was the point of his coming from the West? In one place, Hongzhe says, he just came to create lots of confusion. What is the living meaning of Zen? Or what is the living meaning of the Buddha way? Why did Suzuki Roshi bother coming? What's the point of Suzuki Roshi coming from the West? We could say. Anyway, in this story, Jiajo said, the cypress tree in the yard. So that's the whole case. The monk asked Jiajo, what is the meaning? What was the point of the ancestral teacher Bodhidharma coming from the West? And Jiajo said, the cypress tree in the garden. You see, in the yard. Clearly translates it as in the yard. I think literally he says, in the garden. And as I mentioned yesterday, I visited, the first summer I was living in Chicago, I went to China and was at Jiajo's temple. Now this big thriving monastery with lots more monks than there were in Jiajo's day. And there's a whole grove of cypress trees and supposedly descended from that cypress tree. But I imagine that Jiajo was sitting in a hall like this, and there was a sliding door or something. I don't know what the architecture was back in Tang China exactly, but he looked out and saw a cypress tree and said, no, the cypress tree in the garden. So that's the story. What was the point of Bodhidharma coming from the West? The cypress tree in the garden. Actually, the full story, so that's the part of the story. Often in the koan collections, in the Book of Serenity, in the Blue Cliff Record, and the Mumon Khan, and all of them, there were many, many, many other collections. Those are the three that are the most best known nowadays, but there were many of them. The full story. The longer version of the story from Jiajo's record. The monk asked Jiajo once, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher Bodhidharma coming from the West, the cypress tree in the garden? And then the monk said, Master, please do not use objects to guide people. And Jiajo said, I'm not using objects to guide people. The monk then again asked, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher coming from the West? And Jiajo said, the cypress tree here in the garden. So there's this issue here about objects, about what our relationship is to so-called objects. And this monk you know, wouldn't let Zhao Zhou off so easy. The cypress tree? What are you talking about? That's the point of our, of our sitting for 5 days? That's the point of our practicing for years, the cypress tree? Just a footnote, sometimes you'll see this case written as the oak tree. That's because of the Japanese translation of the characters, but it was actually a cypress tree. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He might have said, the cushion's in the corner. We don't have a window to look outside, but it doesn't matter. So Wansung's commentary begins, when I went to Guishan, a monk asked what the living meaning of Chan is, or why did the ancestral teacher Bodhidharma come from the West? And Guishan asked him to bring a seed. If one would be a real teacher of the source, one must use the basic thing to deal with people. So, you know, that's a pretty good answer. You know, somebody says, what's the point of our practice, and please bring a cushion, have a seat. Or we could just say, please go sit. And then the commentary goes on to repeat this, the full story. A monk asked Zhao Zhou the living meaning of Chan, and Zhao Zhou said, the cypress tree in the yard. The monk said, teacher, don't use an object to guide people. And Zhao Zhou said, I'm not using an object to guide anyone. The monk said, then what's the meaning of Chan Buddhism? And Zhao Zhou said, the cypress tree in the yard. Later, Chan Master Hui Zhao, who was a disciple, a successor of Zhao Zhou, even though his lineage didn't last very long, he did have some successors. He went to Fa Yan's place. Fa Yan was another great master in the Tang period, founder of one of the other five schools. And Fa Yan asked Hui Zhao, where have you recently come from? And Hui Zhao said, from Zhao Zhou. And Fa Yan said, oh, I hear Zhao Zhou has a saying, the cypress tree in the yard, is it so? And Hui Zhao said, no. Fa Yan said, everyone who's been around says a monk asked him about the meaning of Chan, or why did Bodhidharma came from the West, and Zhao Zhou said the cypress tree in the yard. How can you say no? Hui Zhao said, the late master really didn't say this. Please don't slander him. And Wansung comments, everywhere Hui Zhao was called Iron Beak Zhao. It doesn't say it in this case, but Fa Yan, his response was, the true child of a lion gives a good lion's roar in response to Hui Zhao. So, and the Wansung's commentary refers to another master, Shengmo, who said that this story of the cypress tree clears away intellectual views. So it's a good story. And Shengmo went on to say the three mysteries and five ranks are all within it. Oh well. So there's other comments here, but I want to go back to the the introduction to this story from Wansung. The cypress tree in the yard, the wind-blown flag on the pole, it's like one flower bespeaking a boundless spring, like one drop telling of the water of the ocean. The ancient Buddha is born periodically, go far beyond the ordinary current, not falling into words and thought. How can you understand verbally? So, again, this is very simple, but there's this is worth sitting with. what's the point of, you know, this Bodhidharma going from India to China? And for us, we could ask, you know, here we are sitting in Chicago, what's the point of Suzuki Roshi or D.T. Suzuki, for that matter, or all of those exotic Eastern Buddhists and other figures coming here from the West to this West? Well, please sit with us. But again, here's Jiaozhou's, this great master sitting in the cypress tree in the yard. And apparently at Jiaozhou's temple now, they sort of made a fetish of cypress trees and they have this whole grove and, you know, and that's not the point. But, you know, cypress trees are neat. And nearby, they're not so nearby, but not so far, there's a Kongshan temple, which is this is in northern China. This is a temple where Bodhidharma actually taught, which I visited on the same tour. We went on to Shaolin, but at Kongshan Temple, which they're rebuilding, this is the temple where Bodhidharma left his slippers. Do you know that story? Bodhidharma, after he sat in the cave at Shaolin for 9 years or whatever, and the cave is still there and you can still see it, but he went and taught at Kongshan Temple, and then at some point, anyway, there's all these stories about Bodhidharma, and I think recently academic scholars thought there was no Bodhidharma, but you know, I think it's been verified recently that Bodhidharma actually did exist. There's physical proof of it, but at Kongshan Temple, well, there's all kinds of stories about Bodhidharma that we, you know, obviously are legendary. Like he cut off his he was sitting up in his you know, sitting up for 9 years, and so as to not fall asleep. And I don't recommend you try this if you're feeling sleepy, but he cut off his eyelids and threw them on the ground and said that out of his eyelids tea grew, and that's where we have tea from. So you're welcome to drink some tea. But anyway, so Bodhidharma, you know, we don't know. So this, but the story is that he at some point went back to, there were all these other old Indian masters who tried to poison him because they didn't like it that he was, you know, talking about just pointing to mind only and forget about all these old, wonderful old texts and just sit and all these kinds of Chan postgraduate teachings. And, anyway, so he vanished, but then somebody came from the West, from the, I guess from the Silk Road, I don't know, and said they saw him. Oh, he didn't die. They saw him. And they went to look in the coffin that they left at Kongshan Temple. I may be getting the story a little bit. No, I think that's it. And they said that he was walking. The person who saw him walking west said he was barefoot, except he was carrying a pole with one sandal on it. So they went to his coffin at Kongshan Temple, and that's where they opened the coffin and found just one sandal on his body. Anyway, so there's all these legends, and you know, we don't know, except that there apparently there was a cypress tree at Jiaozhou's temple. Anyway, so I mention all this just because the actual story talks about Bodhidharma. But the cypress tree in the yard, Jiaozhou says he's not using objects. So what is, when Jiaozhou responds, the cypress tree in the garden, what is his relationship to the cypress tree? When you're sitting zazen, what is your relationship to the wall in front of you? What is your relationship to the cushion you're sitting on or the chair you're sitting on? So this is just one part of the story, but this issue of objects, you know, goes back to the you know, this question that comes up about seeing peach blossoms and entering by way of conditions. Was that cypress tree just a condition? Well, of course, the cypress tree was a condition, but how? What is our relationship to or what is the world's relationship to our zazen? So in Wansong's introduction, he says, the cypress tree in the yard, the wind-blown flag on the pole. So these commentaries have referred to all these stories as stories upon stories, and that refers to a story about the sixth ancestor who was passing by some monks who were arguing about a banner on a pole, and there was flapping in the wind, and one said it's the... I'm not going to get this exactly right, but it doesn't matter. The one said it's the banner moving, one said it's the wind moving, and the sixth ancestor, Wei Neng, said, no, it's your mind that's moving. And so, what's going on when we're sitting zazen? What's going on when the mind ground meets of itself? What is the living meaning? What is the point of Suki Roshi coming from the West? Jaja said, cypress tree, my garden. And Jaja's successor insisted, no, he never said such a thing. So, you know, after sighting the cypress tree, did Jiajiao need to go washing? How do we take care of so-called things? Or maybe, I don't know, anyway, these are questions to inform our zazen, these stories. And of course, and again, you know, feel free to just forget them completely and just sit and be present with the discomfort in your knee or your back or your butt or the sounds or the breathing in moving through your mind ground. So these stories are not, you know, they're not great puzzles that you need to solve. They're just encouragements. And yet, here we are, you know, studying 1,000 years later this great teacher's response. So I have some comments from Dogen, and they're probably not going to help much, but he refers to the story a few times. So he says, I remember a monk once asked Jiajiao, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher Bodhidharma coming from the West? And Jiajiao said, the cypress tree here in the garden. The monk said, Master, do not use objects to guide people. Jiajiao said, I'm not using objects to guide people. The monk again asked, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher coming from the West? So this is a good monk, a good student. He persisted. Jiajiao said, the cypress tree here in the garden. And Dogen says about this, students in recent times do not understand Jiajiao's meaning and do not study Jiajiao's words, so we should deeply pity them. And Dogen is helpful with these stories because he talks about all the ways of misunderstanding it. So whatever you think you might, you know, be going on in the story, Dogen's going to, you know, cut through some of that. Someone claimed that Jiajiao said the cypress tree in the garden before and again said the cypress tree in the garden later, only in order to not allow the student to create any understanding. Another claimed that all words, without exception, expound Zen, so before and after he used the same phrase, cypress tree. As if, you know, he could have said anything. Such kinds of people, Dogen goes on, are as numerous as rice, sesame, bamboo, and reeds, and yet they try to affix their spring dreams, or winter dreams, as the case may be, to Jiajiao's words, but they cannot. Now suppose someone asked me, Dogen says, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher coming from the West? I would say to him, crossing over the remote blue waves for 3 years. So I don't know if it actually took 3 years back then to get from India to China. And there were several routes. There was the spring, the Silk Road, north, over the northern route. And then there were people who came. And I think in the story about Bodhidharma is that he came across through on the southern route over the ocean and came to South China first. Anyway, that's what Dogen says. What is the meaning? What is the purpose? What is the meaning of the ancestral teacher coming from the West? And Dogen says, I would say, crossing over the remote blue waves for 3 years. It's just what he did. Maybe no meaning besides that. But he did that. Suppose this person responded, Master, do not use objects to guide people. Dogen says, I should say to him, I am not using objects to guide people. Suppose he again asked, what is the master's expression that does not use objects to guide people? And then Dogen doesn't repeat himself. He says, I would say to him, and then he gives this verse, how could blinking the eye at Vulture Peak be a special occasion? Breaking into a smile has never ceased. 4,000 or 5,000 willows and flowering trees along the street, 20,000 or 30,000 musicians play strings and winds in the balconies. So Dogen can get very poetic, but he's referring here to the story, of course an apocryphal story, that maybe you've heard, that Shakyamuni held up a flower at Vulture Peak. And Mahakashapa smiled. And Shakyamuni said, Mahakashapa has the true Dharma eye treasury of Nirvana, and that was supposedly the first transmission of Zen. Mahakashapa is considered, and in the lineage that we will chant later, is the first ancestor in our lineage after Shakyamuni. Of course, that story, supposedly referring to Shakyamuni and whenever it was, 400 BC or 500 BC, there's actually recent questions about it. Some recent archaeological dig that raises questions about what year that was anyway. But we know that story about Mahakashapa smiling and the flower of Vulture Peak doesn't appear anywhere until around 1100. So, you know, we have these stories, and the history isn't the point. Anyway, and maybe Dogen took these stories literally, it doesn't matter. He says, how could the blinking the eyes at Vulture Peak be a special occasion? Breaking into a smile has never ceased. So someone here broke into a smile. 4,000 or 5,000 willows and flowering trees along the street, 20,000 or 30,000 musicians play strings and winds in the balconies. And I think that refers to a story Dogen tells earlier too, but it doesn't matter. He's celebrating Zazen here. So, one question is, when we are sitting, when the mind ground opens of itself, Is that using objects to guide people? Is that using objects to guide yourself? When Jiaozhou or Dogen or I say, please continue sitting, please enjoy your sitting, enjoy your breath, is that using objects? What is our relationship to conditions, to this world? Or what are the conditions' relationship to us? How does the mind ground open of itself? Cypress tree in the garden. Another place Dogen gives three different verse commentaries to this story. A monk once asked Jiaozhou, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher Bodhidharma coming from the west? Jiaozhou said, the cypress tree in the garden. The monk said, Master, do not use objects to guide people. Jiaozhou said, I'm not using objects to guide people. The monk again asked, what is the meaning of the ancestral teacher coming from the west? And Jiaozhou said, the cypress tree here in the garden. And Dogen has three different poems about this. And again, these aren't going to help, but I'll read them anyway. So the first one goes, the cypress tree without roots hangs in the empty sky. Is the ancestor's intention in coming from the west before or after? The ancient Buddha protects the stump when branches and leaves have fallen. On his behalf, this saying naturally appeared. So I'll read that again. The cypress tree without roots hangs in the empty sky. Is the ancestor's intention in coming from the west before or after? The ancient Buddha protects the stump when branches and leaves have fallen. On his behalf, the saying naturally appeared. So maybe this ancient Buddha is referring to Jiaozhou. And maybe protecting the stump, you know, one way to read this is, the branches and leaves have fallen. Jiaozhou has no no lineage, no branching streams, but the stump is there, sitting on our altar. On his behalf, the saying naturally appeared. That's one kind of literal way of reading this, but I think there's more to it. And how do we take care of this stump sitting on our cushions? The second verse, with what plan did he sit immovably as the years passed by? Through snow and frost, a single bone is here in the garden. Jiaozhou does not speak the meaning of coming from the west. How could his ability in the ancient gnarl be on his own? With what plan, with what intention, did he sit immovably as the years passed by? Speaking of Bodhidharma. Through snow and frost, a single bone is here in the garden. Jiaozhou does not speak the meaning of coming from the west. How could his ability in the ancient gnarl be on his own? Dogen's third poem. A monk once asked old Jiaozhou about the way. He only spoke of the cypress tree in the garden. Although his precise words are marvelous, still, I regret the delay in arrival of the ancestral teacher's mind. Dogen's pretty funny. A monk once asked old Jiaozhou about the way. He only spoke of the cypress tree in the garden. Although his precise words are marvelous, still I regret the delay in arrival of the ancestral teacher's mind. So, we're still sitting here wondering about all this. Why did we bother to come? Do you have something better to do? Is there somewhere else you'd rather be? Probably some of you are saying yes. I want my mind ground. I need something else. We imagine there is something else. We do. We have to confess to ourselves that we think there's something else. We think there's somewhere else. We think there's someone else. We might even make up stories about somewhere else, or someone else, or somebody else we want to be, or some better place that we could be. On a, what is it? Is it Thursday? Thursday morning in Chicago. All kinds of wonderful things are happening out there. The cypress tree in the garden. So, there's more in the Book of Serenity commentary. I don't know if I should mention this. I've already given you too much. I'm going to get indigestion. I'm trying to deal with this cypress tree, this old stump. Should remember that Zhaozhou's successor said indignantly, "The late master really didn't say that. Please don't slander him." So, what was the point of Bodhidharma or whoever it was? Somebody else by the same name, coming from the West. Again, opened up the mind ground meets of itself. But I will go on and read Hongzhe's first comment to the story of the cypress tree. "The bank eyebrows, lined with snow, river eyes contain autumn. The ocean mouth drums waves, the boat tongue rides the current. The ability to quell disorder, the strategy for great peace, old Zhaozhou, old Zhaozhou, stirring up the monasteries, never yet stopping." So partly the story just, I imagine can stir up all kinds of thoughts and questions and if I've done that, well, when Zhaozhou? Or you can forget it. But anyway, useless, and this first part of this verse, the commentary goes into intricate interpretations of the bank eyebrows lined with snow and the river eyes and the ocean mouth and the boat tongue and so forth. Hongzhe was this very accomplished poet and there's, interesting interpretations there. But I think I'll skip that. But the last two lines, "uselessly expending effort. Still the cart is made to fit the groove. Originally without ability. Still it fills the ravine and gullies." of the commentary, Wangsheng, I've recently gotten to appreciate Wangsheng more than I used to. He uses, Wangsheng says that Hongzhi uses a technique for quelling disorder and a formula for great peace. Zhao Zhou once said, "Sometimes I take a blade of grass and use it as the 16-foot golden body of a Buddha. Sometimes I take the 16-foot golden body and use it as a blade of grass." This saying originally solved someone's doubts, but now how many people have doubts about it? Did Zhao Zhou want to stir up the monasteries? Seems to have done that. He's still doing it. People see Zhao Zhou's answer, responding immediately as the question is voiced, as if not needing effort. Only Qiantong, it says, but that's Hongzhe. Hongzhe knows how he traveled for 80 years with the resolution to study from anyone who was better than him, even be it a 3-year-old child. This was work done in free time, put to use in a busy time. So there's a story about Zhao Zhou. He lived to be 120 years old, and in China, being old is very highly respected, longevity and seniority, and there's a great deal of respect for age. So of course Zhao Zhou is highly respected, but after he had done his studying, they say there's different stories about Zhao Zhou, and of course we don't know exactly the history, but they say that he traveled around visiting different teachers for a long time before he settled down and became a teacher himself. But as he was traveling, he said that if he found a young child who he could learn from, he would study with them. And if he found an old elder who he could teach, he would teach them. So, he undercut that Chinese sense of age. Wangsheng goes on, "Unless you're someone who has suffered hardship, you won't know that the lying wheel has talent. It can cut off 100 thoughts. Confronting situations, mind is not aroused. Day by day, enlightenment grows." This is about just meeting situations as they are. The sixth patriarch said, "I have no talent. I don't cut off the 100 thoughts. Confronting situations, mind is repeatedly aroused. How can enlightenment grow?" So this is something that's relevant to a number of you who've been wondering how to cut off the 100 thoughts. The sixth ancestor said, "I have no talent. I don't cut off the 100 thoughts." You can try and get rid of thoughts and just live in this kind of pure space of openness. Confronting situations, mind is repeatedly aroused. Sixth ancestor said, according to Wangsheng, how can enlightenment grow? Sixth ancestor didn't seem to be concerned with that. Wangsheng says, "When you look at it in this way, what about that which fills the ravines and gullies? Now it is thrown into West Lake, the clear wind of unburdening. To whom is it imparted?"